session number 27730, reel 10.
Mr. Bob Lunt, reel 10.
So we went on to
we talked about the landing. Yes, you've come ashore again.
Yes, I've come ashore again, and Beachmaster Nicholson came charging down. He said, "What's he doing the other side of that tank?" I said, "I don't know. He got floated round there." He said, "Well, you can't mess about with him." He said, "Undo your ropes, get your ropes off, and leave him tied up to the tank. We'll get him in somehow." So the tide had started to come in, so from what I gather, he had floated, and they pulled the rope and they got him up onto the beach. Then they got the Remy men came down with a towing vehicle and towed him in. I then went on up to the transshipment area. You come up to the beach road, we turned left, and about a half mile down the road was the start of the transshipment area.
Now, the beach wasn't under fire from long range at this time, you know.
They weren't actually firing us on that day. They were firing from the land. Germans were firing at us with their long range guns, their 38s and their tanks. Our fellas managed to clear them out. They cleared them right the way out to the other side of Equestrian. And they'd already taken the Merlin guns once, but the Germans managed to come back and take them over again, and the commandos had to come back and sort them out again.
So the beach was under occasional artillery fire.
Yes.
So what happened next then?
Went into the transshipment area, and this is very important, very interesting. The sergeant gets up on the side of our duck, and he said, "What you got on, fellas?" I said, "Shells." "What kind of shells?" I said, "Well, I don't know what kind of shells. All we're doing is delivering them." So they lifted the canvases up, and they looked at them, and they said, "Well, we don't want you in here." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, they're not the shells we're collecting." So he called an officer over. He said, "Do we got some funnies here?" So he got up on the side of the duck and he said, "Oh, yes," he said, "we don't want you here. You'll have to go into a special bay." I said, "Well, why not? What's so important about these shells?" He said, "Well, we can't tell you that. If you don't know, we're not going to tell you." He said, "You'll have to go into a special section." So they took us out of the transshipment area, up a lane, and into a field. And I said to the sergeant, I said, "This field been demined?" He said, "Well, hope so." I said, "I hope so, because it'd normally go sky high with this lot on behind." So he said, "You'll be all right." He said, "We're going to take it off here, alongside this hedge." So a gang of Pioneer Corps men came along, and they said, "All right, we're going to unload it here." So we took our canvases up, because we had hoops on our ducks and canvases on for coming through the sea. And got them unloading. I said to one of them, I said, why is it so special to bring us from the transshipment area up to here? He said, "Well, don't you know what's in these shells?" We said, "No, we don't." Must be something important. He said, "Very important. We don't want to use it." I like that word, it. What was it? You don't want to use it. He said, well, it's a special type of shell. And we won't use it unless we're forced to. And I thought, what the hell is that? I said to Owen, I said, I wonder what's in these shells. He said, well, I think I've guessed what they are. But he said, I sincerely hope they're not going to use that. He said, what you got on your chest? I said, gas mask. He said, well, that's it. I think they're gas. It's gas. And they are prepared in case Jerry uses the gas. But fortunately, he didn't, and we didn't. And as far as I know, them shells are still there in that field today. I hope not. The shells are probably rotted by now. But that's what we, nobody would tell us what we carried. And then when we got back to the beach road, empty, they said, oh, you've got to go to Ermanville Park and report in. So we went to Ermanville Park. Sorry?
I thought before that you had to take some soldiers out to the hospital ships.
Well, we were already in the park. We had to go to the park before
right,
we
right, okay. So it's Ermanville Park, right?
And we were told our position where we would be in the park, and we had to get our hoods off so that they could load from the ships straight into our ducks. And we took the hoops off and folded the canvas up and put the hoops down behind where we were going to park that night. Then one of the sergeants came along and said, this is your section whilst we're here. Dig two slit trenches, which we automatically did. Unfortunately, it was I was in between an apple tree root, and I used to lay under that root, and I thought, well, if a shell comes over, the tree gets it first.
How deep did you dig it? I mean, what size?
Oh, about 2 foot.
Oh, that's all, so...
Yeah, it was a slit trench. 2 foot by 6 foot by 2 foot. And you lay down in that and hope to God it never rained, because it used to fill up.
So what happened next then?
So we did that. Had a bit of grub, I suppose. That would be about...
Now what food were you getting? Tell us about the food.
Well, we're getting the food. It wasn't too bad at all. Being out at sea, we used to say to the sailors on board, the trawlers and what have you, got any decent grub on board, because we're only getting meat and veg and tinned meat and soup or corned beef. What have you got? So they used to say, well, we've got some bread here. Oh, we'll have some bread. So they said, what are you going to give us? They said, oh, we'll give you a tin of bully. All right, okay, we'll have a tin of bully. How many loaves you want? Well, how many can you spare? So they give us a dozen, and we put them in our cubbyhole at the back. And we had good food. I mean, really, we had some good food on the British sector, but we had better food later on.
So you got your food, and then what happened?
We started taking stuff back to the shore, and that was our job. Transshipment down to the beachmaster. Where are you going? You're going out to number 7 ship. There's number 7 ship. It's got a big 7 on the side. Tie up, bring back what they've got, and that's your ship for the time being.
And you started doing that on D-Day itself?
D-Day. From the word go, once we got rid of our original initial load, we were backwards and forwards. In fact, they one or two of the soldiers used to say, shore, transship, shore, sea, ship, sea. And then I said to one of our fellows, a fellow named Arthur Linser, he was very good at making odes up and poems. I'm quite pally with him, and he'd say, I said, why can't you make a song up about us? Ship, load, sea, shore, transshipment, unload, sea, back to the... He said, I'll have to think about that, Robert. I'll have to go have another go. And he was always making odes up, funny ones as well. And
now you took some wounded back. Tell us about that, because that seems to have affected you at the time.
Well, I came in one day.
Wasn't on D-Day then.
No. The hospital ship didn't come through until about 3 or 4 days. We were getting a lot of wounded back.
Anything else happened on D-Day itself then?
No, I think that was about the most interesting one, was our load that we couldn't get rid of. I mean, until the officer came and said, you'll have to take it into another field. That was the most interesting part of it, of that day.
So you were just going backwards and forwards once you'd got you.
Once
got
we got rid
of Demonville Park.
Yeah. And then the shelling started.
Tell me about that.
The bells. I said, what do you used to use? A klaxon horn started moaning. And I said, that's shelling. And the shells were coming across onto our beach. And we wondered how on earth, if the commanders had cleared Merville guns out and the railway gun, they had a railway gun, the Germans, and it used to come along about 2 miles away along the top of the beach, and they used to fire so many shells and then buzz back into a tunnel. And they were pretty accurate, and they were getting too accurate, and we thought that, I said to one or two of them, I said, I think that somebody's given our positions away. Well, the red caps were already there, and they went through the village, went through Armonville village, and found that a lot of the French ladies who were very upset that we had arrived, and they were very upset that they lost their German friends, and the Red Caps eventually found that there was one or two giving our positions away to the Germans. On the fourth day, we had a hospital ship come in. He'd been...
So just backwards and forwards until the fourth day?
Yeah. Oh, it was backwards and forwards for the whole of the time we were out at sea. But this hospital ship came along. He'd been to Utah Beach, Omaha Beach. He was well and truly loaded when he left Omaha Beach. Gold Beach, Juno Beach, and then he come to Sword. Well, they had the Union Jacks down and the American flags down and the hospital ship flags down on the ship. So that the Germans knew that it was a hospital ship. And we were getting such a lot of Germans captured and sent back to the beach that we didn't want them. They were cluttering up our beach. They'd built a prisoner of war cage for them, but they were a nuisance. So those that were wounded were taken on our docks. I'll give you one particular instance of taking wounded back.
So these are German wounded?
They were German wounded, taken back as well. They were taken to the hospital ship, and then they were taken back to England. I came back, I had to go out to Queestrium, where the our commandos and the airborne had floated in, and they picked up a sergeant on a stretcher, passed them up to us on the dock, and the stretcher went across the across the dock. Funnily enough, it was just long enough to fit across the top of the dock, of the well of the dock, and then we also put about three or four stretchers in the actual well of the dock, and then we put the rest on top. Tied them down, because on the side of the catwalk of the dock you had cleats which you could tie things to, so that the stretchers wouldn't slip off. And then there was one sergeant there, and he was in a terrible state, and he said, "Where are you taking me, where are you going to take me, soldier?" I said, "We're taking you to the hospital ship." He said, "Will it be long?" I said, "No, about 20 minutes, half an hour." And he said, "I want some attention." I said, "Yeah, I know you do. Is there anything I can get you?" So he said, "No," he said, "all I want is some attention." He said, "I've got to have some stitches, I've been told." I said, "Yes, you've got to have some stitches." I said, "But don't worry, do you want anybody to be with you, to hold you?" "No, I should be all right." And we just took and brought him back to the beach, and told the beach master we had a load of wounded on. He said, "Can you get some of these Germans on?" I said, "No way." I said, "I can't put Germans on with these fellas." I said, "These are the commandos from Queestrium. I'm not putting Germans in with them." So he said, "Well, you best get out to the hospital ship." So we took him out to the hospital. We went out to the hospital ship, came alongside, tied up, and the cranes came down, and they tied them very securely to the stretchers and took them all off. And I always wondered if that sergeant ever got back and was alive. But we saw some harrowing things that affected us over the years. And, you know, you can think about these things. I'm talking about it now. You know, I can actually see the beach, and actually see, well, there was only one house left on the beach road. There was another incident. We were out on night duty, and we had to go down to the ammo ship. Went out to the ammo ship, picked up a load, and they said, "So what are they?" So one of them said, "They're for Bofa guns." I said, "Are they all Bofa guns?" They said, "Yes." They're in desperate need for them. So I said, righto. They loaded us up. And then we turned for the shore. Got on the shore, and it was just getting dark. The beachmaster, who was in charge, said, what do you got on? I said, both are guns, shells. So he said, right, get up to transshipment. We got to transshipment. Transshipment said, what have you got on? I said, Trent, we got both are gun shells. Oh, they said, we don't bring them in here. He said, they want them down on the front of the beach at the various sites. We'll give you a issuer and go down to the furthest one. They are right out of both shells and they're desperate for them. So righto, so he goes down the beach road down to the very end of our positions and pulled into the Bofa gun site. The sergeant, RA sergeant, came out and said, what have you got on? I said, got Bofa shells for you. Oh, good, he said. Just as we were just about to start unloading, there's rifle shots firing at us. And the sergeant said, that damn sniper's out again. I said, God, blimey, what a place to come to. Anyway, Owen was in his spare seat. He crashed across. I was in the well of the duck. I did no more, and I jumped straight over the side and down onto the ground. And the sergeant was down there, so he said, what do you do that for? I said, I'm going to stay up there to be shot. So he said, have you got a rifle? I said, yeah, I've got a rifle. I shouted to Owen, pass my rifle down, will you? He said, you wouldn't like the brain gun? I said, no, just give me my rifle and some cartridges. He said, don't forget, oh, you've got to sign for them cartridges. I said, oh, God, no. He said, I said, well, I'll get the sergeant to sign that I'm going to use my rifle. This was Armstrong's idea. Nobody could use a shell or a cartridge unless he signs for it. Anyway, I don't think he was fighting in our war. So the sergeant said, is that your rifle? I said, it's a good gun. So he said, right, they banged in a magazine and put one up the spout, and one of his men said, gave the position where he was firing from, the sniper. So banged off about five rifles, cartridges, and this bloke started firing again. I said, you know what you ought to do, Sergeant? I said, how far can you lay your Bofa gun down? He said, as low as you like. Why? I said, I'd stick a shell in there. That'll stir him up. He said, what a good idea. So he calls out to one of his gunners. We've got some shells. Lay your gun down to where that shot's coming from and take him out with a shell. And that's what they did. And I thought, you know, I thought, well, there's a man there with three tapes up. And he couldn't think of that. And there was me who had just lost his one tape telling him what to do. So, anyway, that was another incident. There was another time when we had to take some, we'd been out to our beach, out to the ships, and brought a load of petrol back in square cans. And When we got on the beach, they said, oh, we can't take it here, you've got to go on to Gold Beach, which was at Aramonches. I thought, well, that's jolly. There's Germans are still holding a section of that. I said, I'm going to get caught with a load of petrol on board. Anyway, we get to the Gold Beach, and they decided that Jerry, I don't know where the shells were coming from, but Jerry had decided to shell the Gold Beach at Aramonches. And anyway, there was shrapnel flying everywhere. And I was not very keen being there with a load of petrol on board. Anyway, we got to their transshipment area and got unloaded and turned around, and we cleared off. But there was quite a number of things like that that happened. And we come back to the Sword Beach. The next day, in Hermanville Park, oh, there was another. I'll tell you this one. This is a funny one. There was a friend of mine. He was a DR, Corporal DR. His name was David McMullen, McLuggan. And he was always riding up and down the beach on his motorbike. And he was a DR nut. And anyway, I came into the Hermanville Park, and I said to the sergeant, I said, was that Dave McCulloch going off in the ambulance, open ambulance? He said, yes. He said, just shot himself. I said, never. He said, yeah. He said, you know, all DRs have got Sten guns. I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, with a Sten gun, it's automatic plunger. And they were shockers, they were. If you dropped it on the floor, the bolt used to go down, used to push cartridge up and fire. Used to be automatic firing. And what he did, he took his Sten gun off his back, he parked his motorbike, put it on his stand, took his Sten gun off his back, and he put the Sten gun, so that's the ring of the Sten gun. He held the Sten gun, you wouldn't anymore, this, and he put his hand over the Sten gun and dropped the Sten gun on the floor, and the bullet went straight through and blew his thumb off. And of course, he was completely wounded as such. He couldn't go on a motorbike, couldn't do anything. So they put him out on the hospital ship. And I said to the sergeant, that was a stupid thing to do. He said, well, now you know. He said, we've been telling you people for months not to drop your Sten gun or you'll get a bullet through your hand. He said, we don't know whether he did it on purpose, whether or not. Anyway, the sequence to that story, if I may say so, goes over to 19... What year was it?